Greetings, parish orphans and retrogrades. I bring to you today a follow-up show, The Good, the Bad, and the Neutral, commentators on Pope Francis's shocking statement, if you will, from yesterday. And it delivers what it seems to promise to, I think. Good statements, meaning the good guys making supportive claims of Catholic teaching as against Pope Francis's teaching on gay civil unions. A few bad tweets. I want to just point out to you that the bad actors on behalf of LGBT Marxist type positive rights have spoken up, and they've spoken up in a predictable way. And then the neutral parties, the Pope-splainers that are otherwise faithful but have really capitulated to this pontificate's weaponized ambiguity, have done what you'd expect them to do, and these people are more friend than foe. So we want to address them without taking them down entirely. I don't know how you're in this neutral position any longer. Let's get right down to it. One more time, National Catholic Register reported that Pope Francis calls for civil union law for same-sex couples in shift from Vatican stance. And he did so in this documentary, Francesco, in a couple different romance languages that broke on Wednesday. He says, homosexuals have a right to be a part of the family, vague. They're children of God and have a right to a family. That's also vague because it sounds like it means they can adopt. Nobody should be thrown out or be made miserable because of it. If he means same-sex attraction, we all agree they're children of God. We love them. This has nothing to do with the issue, whether or not they're acting on their mortally sinful inclinations. So that's the context. I'm reading it just like I did yesterday. That's the context. That is not the actual denotation of what he said wrong. That's the setup to the spike. Here comes the spike. This is in the film. After these remarks and in comments likely to spark controversy, Pope Francis weighs in directly on the issue of civil unions for same-sex couples. Here it goes. I'll read it one more time. You've already heard it a million times yesterday. What we have to create is a civil union law. That way, they're legally covered. I stood up for that. Now, first things first. When he's referring to I stood up for that. I having stood up for it in the past. Presumptively, this means what he did when he was in Buenos Aires. There is lots of tell about what he said when he was a Buenos Aires bishop, and he stood up for civil unions for homosexual couples. That's presumptively what he means here, and it's simply not acceptable. Here are a few of the good guys. Then I'm going to read you a few tweets from one of the bad guys. And like I said, the bulk of my commentary today will respond to the parties attempting to be the neutral guys, a la Trent Horn at Catholic Answers. Everyone knows I have a relationship with Trent. He's a good guy, and he's a smart guy. And maybe if he watches this video, he'll respond to me. I was talking to him some on Twitter yesterday. My brother was interacting with him too. Just maybe we can have legitimate dialogue such as would make Pope Francis proud. But first, the good guys. Statement coming from Bishop Thomas Tobin, not the Cardinal Tobin, not the Cardinal, not Nighty Night Baby. No, he would probably be thrilled with the idea of same-sex unions. Nighty Night Baby, after all, right? This is Thomas Tobin. The Holy Father's apparent support for the recognition of civil unions for same-sex couples needs to be clarified. The Pope's statement clearly contradicts what has been the long-standing teaching of the Church about same-sex unions. The Church cannot support the acceptance of objectively immoral relationships, well said. Individuals with same-sex attraction are beloved children of God and must have their personal human rights and civil rights recognized and protected by law. Well said. As much as my rights should be. Well said. However, the legalization of their civil unions, which seeks to simulate holy matrimony, is not admissible. Well said, Bishop Thomas Tobin. Good man, good bishop. Thank you for the clarity. This is your job. Now also, Bishop Thomas Tobin has retweeted my friend Edward Penton from National Catholic Register, who tweeted out the front cover of tomorrow's highest circulation UK newspaper, Pope Blesses Gay Wedding. Penton tweeted this out, and Bishop Tobin retweeted it, because this is, in giant, bold headline, Pope Blesses Gay Wedding. This is the message being sent to the world. He's trying to play popular with the world, and this is what he's effectively doing. It was all over, not just Catholic Twitter, not just Catholic web blogs and whatnot today. It was all over the secular ones, and it's going to be more so in the days coming. Pope blesses gay weddings. So thank you, Bishop Tobin. You are being a good shepherd, and you're giving your flock not only direction toward the truth, but also hope, because truth always leads to hope, even if the news ain't great. Thank you. I honestly thank you. Archbishop Vigano, another one of the good guys, no surprise here. Here's what he said on 1 Peter 5. Archbishop Vigano commented thus, "Pay careful attention. These words simply constitute the umpteenth provocation by which the ultra-progressive part of the hierarchy wants to artfully provoke a schism, as it has already tried to do with the post-synodal exhortation of Amoris Laetitia, with the modification of doctrine on the death penalty, with the Pan-Amazon Synod, and the filthy Pachamama, and with the Abu Dhabi Declaration, which has now been reaffirmed and aggravated by the encyclical Fratelli Tutti. It appears that Bergoglio is impudently trying to raise the stakes in a crescendo of heretical affirmations in such a way that it'll force the healthy part of the church, which includes bishops, clergy, and faithful, to accuse him of heresy in order to declare that healthy part of the church schismatic and the enemy of the Pope." Aside from calling him Bergoglio, which I don't quite understand rhetorically, that this is a great message. I think it's on point. I'm not sure if he's going to actually declare the healthy part of the church schismatics. He's definitely not going to, as I said yesterday, declare the German Bishops' Conference, which has been pushing for these self-same issues, gay marriage, Eucharistic adoration and celebration with the Lutherans, women deacons, married priests, all of these. He's lockstep with the Germans, and he pretends every once in a while to repudiate them, which is strange. He did so, as reported by the National Catholic Register, just the day before this all hit on Tuesday. It hit on Wednesday. He pretended to repudiate these true schismatics the day before, and he's never going to excommunicate him, even though he should. I don't think he's going to excommunicate in any formal capacity, in any ecclesiastically meaningful capacity, the healthy part of the church, as Archbishop Vigano says. But he is coaxing a confrontation in much the same way that the German Bishops' Conference is. The Pope's planners seek to distance Pope Francis and the German Bishops' Conference. Nonsense. But I don't think it's going to be a formal declaration. I would be very surprised. I've never shied away from making predictions here. I disagree with Archbishop Vigano there. I don't think there's going to be any such formal declaration. But he's right. Another good guy, Bishop Strickland of Tyler, Texas. Fond of Bishop Strickland. He tweeted out the 2003 Congregation for the Doctrine of the Faith document against same-sex civil unions, which we will discuss in a few short minutes in this video. I'm going to read to you the key passages, because you're getting all kinds of wacky, fallacious argumentation saying that, well, as long as the Pope isn't saying that it should be taken to be, that is, gay civil unions, tantamount to sacramental matrimony, then it's okay. No, nonsense. The Congregation for the Doctrine of the Faith has already weighed in on it and ruled it out. I'm going to read that in a second. First, I want to get to the bad guy here who met with the Pope, and the Pope sort of brushed off later And yours truly here did not ever believe that the brush off was authentic. Of course, we're talking about Father James S.J., Father James Martin, who tweeted a series of celebratory comments on the Pope's remarks. Of course, Father James S.J. matters because the Pope met with him, as I said a second ago, after he was condemned by a number of bishops for Martin's teaching on LGBTQ plus issues. The first celebratory tweet that Father James S.J. tweeted was the following: Pope Francis' support of same-sex civil unions is a major step forward in the Church's support of LGBTQ people. It is in keeping with this pastoral approach to LGBT people, including LGBT Catholics, and sends a strong signal to countries where the Church has opposed such laws. Broadly speaking, Christian countries, or formerly Christian countries, descending towards paganism and secularism. So, yeah, the countries that he's designated as the bad guys are the ones with lingering residuum of their previous Christianity in prior centuries. Also, he doesn't seem able to make sure, secure, safely, whether or not he wants to talk about his favorite demographic here, the LGBT people, as LGBT or LGBTQ. Just a thing. He's contradicting himself in that tweet, where he's basically condemning Christian countries for their Christianity. Tweet number two by Father James: what makes Pope Francis' comments supporting the same-sex civil unions today so momentous? Well, first, he is saying them as Pope, not Archbishop of Buenos Aires. Key, remember I said that earlier? It's important. He did support them as Archbishop of Buenos Aires. Second, Father James S.J. goes on, he is clearly supporting, not simply tolerating, civil unions. Third, he is saying it on camera, not privately. Historic. This is my favorite one, Father James S.J. Here's why. Because you're actually right. And we're going to talk about your tweet number two for the second time once we move on from your tweet number three, as we go to the Pope splainers, the ones that are attempting to be neutral on this. So thank you. Thank you. You're right on. He did not say this as Archbishop of Buenos Aires. He said it as Pope, the sovereign pontiff. He's clearly supporting, not simply tolerating, civil unions. We'll get to this in a second. All right. Tweet number three from Father James S.J. To journalists who are asking, what pontifex said during our audience last year remains private at his request, so we could speak freely. Right? But I can say we spent 30 minutes discussing LGBT people. I guess no Q this time. What happened to the Q, man? Francis was warm, open, and attentive, and I felt inspired, consoled, and encouraged. That is so super, man. If I was off of camera, I would tell you what I really thought about that. That just gives me the warm fuzzies deep, deep down inside. I'm not a big fan of you, Father James S.J. I got to be honest. Okay, but I am a fan of your tweet number two that I read shortly ago. And let's get down to it. Because my friend at Catholic Answers, and I'm not using that term sarcastically, or as I would be if I said my friend Father James S.J., who I've never met, my friend Trent Horn, good man, a Pope-splaining good man, attempted to defend. So we're getting down to the meaty part of this commentary video, the neutral. The good and the bad are clear enough. The good and the bad in this case are actually being honest. I think Trent is too, but the conclusions are not accurate, even as ideological worldviews. They're simply nonsensical. So let's get down to it. Trent and my brother Dave, retrograde Dave, had a back and forth on a particular justification of Francis's comments. Trent says this: following the 2003 CDF document, I don't support making civil unions on par with marriage. I support legal households for anyone, with permanence and monogamy being reserved for marriage. To which my brother Dave said, isn't supporting legal households for homosexual couples formal cooperation, or at least indefensible material cooperation with sin? Good, job, Dave, because this is right on. And we're going to read the 2003 CDF document, and we're going to read Father James S.J.'s second tweet in one moment. Trent responded, I would consider it toleration of evil in the same way Aquinas justified the state allowing legal prostitution. This is important. This is the main stuff of my response. It's even less problematic if the law is written so that it is neutral on the purpose of the household and is not specifically for certain sexual relationships. And Adrian Vermeule, one of my very favorite people in the world, especially among academics, retweeted a tweet that made this same argument. Aquinas did, in fact, and Trent Horn's not going to misrepresent, that's not his style. As a matter of fact, Aquinas did say that prostitution should and may even be considerable as legal, even though it's totally wrong. Here's the distinction, and here's why Trent's analysis falls short in this instance, as much as I like Trent. Pope Francis refers to a positive right, an affirmative right to gay civil unions, the right to family, which also insinuates adoption, which follows in every country that has gay civil unions, adoption is legal, everyone. But he said they have an affirmative right to family. This means husband and husband adopting a bunch of kids. That is an affirmative right in terms of, in the Latin, it's ius, use. This is not what Aquinas is saying about a government, a polity's failing to make certain of the vices illegal, right? Aquinas never said that there is a right to prostitution. That's not what it would be. It is a failure on the part of, let's say, more libertarian societies who have legalized prostitution. It's a failure to illegalize it. That is very different from what Pope Francis is arguing for. Life, liberty, property. The role of family pre-exists the role of the state. There is no state if there aren't a polity, an accumulation, and an aggrandizement of families, whether it's a little hilltop shire or a republic or a kingdom. There is no polity unless there are families. It's built on the backs of families. So there's an affirmative right to very few things. Pope Francis is saying gay civil unions, which does ape a sacrament, matrimony, that there's a right to this wrong. He's using the language of natural right. That is not what Aquinas is saying. Aquinas is reasoning from the dictates of subsidiarity and saying simply, hey, every society doesn't need to make cigarettes wrong. That's called a vice in the kind of WASP tradition. But some might. It's an issue of prudence. Not every society has rendered, divorce is a whole other issue. But pornography, which is a very bad ill, arguably worse for society than legalized prostitution. Prostitution, 36-ounce sodas in New York, these can be regulated or not regulated by the state. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about state-altered definitions for true natural rights, the few things we have true natural rights to, life, which includes the right to family, liberty, and property. These are the negative rights the Catholic tradition is really specific about from about the middle, second millennium on. We have a right to life, liberty, property, not much else, because everything else can be taken away. These are inalienable rights. A homosexual person, if they deign not to marry an opposite sex person, let's say it's a gay man, he doesn't go marry a woman, he doesn't have an affirmative right to having children because he's not generating children with her to procreate species of his spawn. So he has the right to procreate with a woman. If he finds her icky, then he doesn't have to. That's his right. That is the negative right of life, liberty, property that is inclusive of family. That makes up the polity. And accumulation of families make up the polity. But there's not a right to do wrong. And Thomas Aquinas never said that in a society that's more libertarian, that deigns not to illegalize prostitution, that there's a right to prostitution. No use to prostitution, even in such societies. This is highly analogous to the difference between God's wise will and his permissive will. God would never will wicked things in his wise will. He allows certain things in his permissive will. The reason it doesn't work with the church sanctioning civil unions as between gay men or gay women or whatever they're called is because that would be, as my brother Dave accurately pointed out to Trent Horn, formal cooperation with evil. It would be tantamount to saying that God wills it in his wise will. Not at all like what Aquinas says about prostitution. That's a prudential matter for the legislators or the adjudicators of the state. Okay? This I'm 100% certain about this argument. I'm not out on a limb here. I'm very, very, very confident. Dave also responded, attacks on the family or attacks on society and children in a way that the sin of prostitution and fornication, which is usually very hidden, is not. And this is a different argument, but it's also a good one. When the Pope endorses civil unions because gays, quote, deserve families, deserve in the sense of desert, in the sense of natural rights lexicon, this is a whole new level of scandal. And Trent, to be fair, I'll read his final reply. He says, I agree. He also should not have used language like that, he means rights language, in his proposal. But as a prudential matter, I don't see any other way to preserve marriage in our culture without offering some alternative for LGBT. Whoa, way wrong. I liked his first sentence here. It was good. Be critical. Then he said, there's no other way to go forward without this. Whack. That's whack. And I like Trent. By making the alternative broad, it lessens the evil. Rethink this, Trent, because you're a smart guy and you're a good guy. Rethink this. Come on the show or whatever. Continue the dialogue with Dave. But you're dead wrong here. And this is a charitable correction because that's what we do here on Rules for Retrogrades. But you're dead wrong. The Aquinas metaphor is a horrible one. Aquinas is right. Francis is wrong. And here's the proof. Here's the 2003 Congregation for the Doctrine of the Faith document penned by none other than Joseph Cardinal Ratzinger. Paragraph 5, in those situations where homosexual unions have been legally recognized or have been given the legal status and rights belonging to marriage, precisely what Francis will talk about 17 years later, yesterday, clear and emphatic opposition is a duty. One must refrain from any kind of formal cooperation in the enactment or application of such gravely unjust laws and, as far as possible, from material cooperation on the level of their application. In this area, everyone can exercise the right to conscientious objection. This is Acte Apostolicae Sedis. This is from the CDF. Actually, I'm not 100% sure it's in the AAS. I should have checked myself before I clicked start on this tape, but I'm pretty sure it is. So Dave was right. I don't know if David checked this. Dave's a good lawyer. I don't know if he'd checked this before or he was just reasoning, because he's also a good theologian, to the idea that this is formal cooperation or inadmissible material cooperation, but he was right either way. Maybe he's just making an argument from authority and he'd looked at it right before he made the tweet. Nevertheless, let's move on to paragraph 7. Homosexual unions are totally lacking in the biological and anthropological elements of marriage and family, which would be the basis on the level of reason for granting them legal recognition. Such unions are not able to contribute in a proper way to the procreation and survival of the human race. The possibility of using recently discovered methods of artificial reproduction, beyond involving a grave lack of respect for human dignity, does nothing to alter this inadequacy. Paragraph 8. I still don't have my voice back. I've had this cold for about a month, probably. But that's all right. Number 8, society owes its continued survival to the family. Remember what I was saying about the family pre-exists the society. It's the single cell, as called by the recent Catechism of the Church. It owes its continued survival to the family founded on marriage, the sacrament, natural and sacramental. The inevitable consequence of legal recognition of homosexual unions would be the redefinition of marriage, which would become in its legal status an institution devoid of essential reference to factors linked to heterosexuality. For example, procreation and raising children. If from the legal standpoint, marriage between a man and a woman were to be considered just one possible form of marriage, the concept of marriage would undergo a radical transformation with grave detriment to the common good. Now, hey, Adrian Vermeule, you're a common good, whatever, legal scholar, common good jurisprude, right? Common good conservative, if you even bother to call yourself that. This is all about the common good, baby. You got to come to the light. Adrian Vermeule and others. By putting homosexual unions on a legal plane analogous to that of marriage and the family, the state acts arbitrarily and in contradiction of its duties. Paragraph 9. Nor is the argument valid according to which legal recognition of homosexual unions is necessary to avoid situations in which cohabiting homosexual persons, simply because they live together, might be deprived of real recognition of their rights as persons and citizens. This addresses a couple of Trent's points at once. In reality, they can always make use of the provisions of law, like all citizens from the standpoint of their private autonomy, to protect their rights in matters of common interest. It would be gravely unjust to sacrifice the common good and just laws on the family in order to protect personal goods that can and must be guaranteed in ways that do not harm the rest of society. When legislation in favor of the recognition of homosexual unions is proposed for the first time in a legislative assembly, the Catholic lawmaker has a moral duty to express his opposition clearly and publicly, to vote against it, a duty. Permissive and mandatory injunctions. This is a mandatory injunction, a duty of the Catholic legislator. Who'd have thunk that in 2020, he would have to be saying, or a pope has the duty to promulgate this notion of the CDF. He concludes, to vote in favor of a law so harmful to the common good is gravely immoral. Grave matter. This is not arguable. Trent, don't defend it. Vermeule, I think you're a recent convert. I don't know how much you care about actual Catholicism. Harvard law profs usually don't. So I'm more talking to Trent, who is a knowledgeable Catholic. Just come to the light on this one. This is really bad. Aquinas says, I'll read this from second part of the first part. First part of the second part, question 95, article 2. Every human law has just so much of the nature of law as it is derived from the law of nature. But if at any point it deflects from the law of nature, it is no longer a law, but a perversion of law. This, too, leaves standing the distinction, legalized prostitution, wherever it's legal, where he talks about another part of the Summa. That leaves that standing. But it would not leave standing this most pernicious gay civil union legislation talk that Francis has sadly indulged. So what are the takeaways? Because I'm going to end here. What are the takeaways? This is not permissible. The CDF has already spoken on it clearly. Francis, even in the non-official, non-magisterial capacity, he spoke in a documentary, contradicted this, and he needs to come out and say what I said in the documentary is dead wrong. No justification, no clarification. 3B, my third point, part B, is he needs a total reversal and said, look, this was a mistake. I was reasoning about it off the cuff, which I do a lot, and I was wrong about it, which I am a lot. He's just wrong. And point four is, yes, this does not yet represent a magisterial claim by Francis. It's a private opinion of the Pope. Let me ask you this. How come every one of his private opinions that creates a big splash is horrible, anathema to Catholicism? Not neutral, not a little bit on the fringe, but just directly contradictory of Catholic teaching. How come? So a lot of people are getting twisted off in Twitter fights arguing about, Well, it's not a magisterial statement. It's an opinion of the Pope, of course. No one, who cares? Why are all of his opinions so repugnant to Roman Catholicism? That's a real question we need to ask. That's not the question that people have been asking. It's a real one we need to engage. Why are all of his instincts so awful? Why is number 266 here so awful? Why are his positions hateful to the faithful? Why are they so odious from the perspective of the faithful? Why does he hate traditional Catholics so much? Why does he hate traditional Catholicism so much? I mean, lowercase t, just the traditions of the faith. Why is he the great reformer, Austin Ivory? What is there to reform? Certainly, it's not the pedophilia scandal, right? He's made that worse. He covered for Cardinal McCarrick. This is the most corrupt, vile, complicit, morally degenerate papacy in the history of the Roman Catholic Church. And we're not talking about just private misbehaviors. And there are plenty of those to go around. I'm talking, like I said yesterday, 50 to 60 no going back moments. Use contraception, he said in 2016. It's fine to use contraception in certain circumstances. Amoris Laetitia had 12 grave, grave strikes in it, 12 or 14. Not just communion for the civilly divorced and remarried, which he also did, and stuck in the AAS by virtue of that Argentine letter to the bishops. Really bad. What about 9 or 10 of the Eugenio Scalfari interviews? He's questioning the divinity of Christ. I mean, these are not just schismatic points of view. These are striking at the heart of the Trinitarian Christian religion. These are just off the cuff. Laudato Si had a bunch of stuff that was not Catholic, that was borderline neo-paganistic. Now, Carita Amazonia had impulses which were not Catholic. Back in Amoris Laetitia, he said that hell, it's not the logic of heaven that hell can be forever. This, people have to, instead of bandying about whether to call him Bergoglio or Pope Francis, call him Pope Francis and just say, what's really going on here? Don't draw it up in such binary terms, guys. I mean, it's all binary. I don't mean black and white. I love black and white. I'm not talking find the grace. That's ridiculous and gay. I'm talking about see past the petty arguments that people have been having. What's his big project? Assuming that he has, I think, bad will, because you don't have 50 to 60 major gaffes where you're questioning the divinity of Christ in some of them, and overcoming the petty obstacle of Roman Catholic ritual in many of them, trying to remake the sacraments entirely, rewrite the Ten Commandments. I mean, this is, it sounds like I'm making this all up. What is really the goal? Assuming that it's bad will, just most of my fans now assume it's bad will. What is the goal here? We need to reason about it together instead of, he's not Pope, this, that, what do we call it? This stupid, I don't care. I'm trying to see the long game, man, or at least the middle range game. What is the big goal? He came into the pontificate, as admitted by Austin Ivory and by Cardinal Daniels, because of the Sankt Gallen Mafia. And Austin Ivory admitted that he more or less gave an affirmative, maybe nonverbal gesture, that he would be fine with Sankt Gallen Mafia people canvassing for him in 2013. And then that was stricken from Austin Ivory's book. I forget exactly what the verbiage was. Don't quote me directly. I'm going from memory, and I certainly don't want to read Ivory's book. But he had something stricken from it after the first week that had to do with a formal acknowledgement of canvassing, which could be, not necessarily is, could constitute a late sententia excommunication, which is why I think he got it out of there. I'm functioning on two imprecisions, imperfect memory, and a little bit of speculation. So don't quote me too directly. But the point is, he's doing the bidding of the German, Belgian, French contingency, Swiss contingency of the cardinalate, the people that openly admit that they got him in there. In some cases, he's pretending to oppose them, this kabuki theater, like the story from Tuesday of this week, that he's pretending not to want intercommunion, the intercommunion between Lutherans and Catholics that the German bishops are doing every day, every week. They're giving the Lord's body and blood, soul and divinity, to Lutherans. And they're saying we're doing this, and they're saying Rome can't tell us what to do. And he's pretending, he's flirting with, and once a year, once every 9 months, he'll make a statement like, quit doing that. And they get away with it. Meanwhile, he cracks down hard on Cardinal Serra for trying to celebrate the Eucharist the right way, facing Ad Orientem as he consecrates the host. He says the next day, within 12 hours, no, you're not allowed to tell people to do that. People, you don't have to consecrate the host, Ad Orientem. What's going on? What's going on? People, you know I get sick of this on Catholic Twitter. Don't be petty. Ask questions, okay? This is what smart people do. Ask questions rather than supply, you know, folderol type answers. We don't all know. We don't all know. We don't know what his meaning in history is. It's something. It's the curse of the Chinese, right? May you live in interesting times. It's interesting in a bad way. How does this all go with the election? I don't know, but it's bad. How does Pope Francis align with the Chinese Communist Party? I don't know, but it's bad. And McCarrick has something to do with it. Ask Cardinal Zen. I don't know exactly. How does all this have to do with Banco Ambrosiano, the Vatican Bank? Cardinal Pell. I don't know exactly. Even Cardinal Mueller agrees with me that he's like, these are shots across the bow that are never going to hit. What he says to the German Bishops' Conference. These are the people that put him in power. These are his best friends. When he pretends he would ever excommunicate them for doing outright heresy and schism. What is going on? Don't forget the details. Think back on the past and just think, okay, assume he's Pope. For you, you know, people out there that think he's not Pope, whatever, maybe. You've already said it. History will show that you're right if you're right. Who knows? But the point is, assume conservatively, assume that he is Pope. What does it mean if he's 266? What is being communicated here? Something about, a lot of people wanted to connect all this stuff to Vatican II. I think it connects more meaningfully to Vatican I. What is really the meaning of the papal magisterium? He is shaking it to its core, much more than he's shaking any Vatican II trees, any Vatican II cages. He's shaking Vatican I. He's shaking all the fruit from the tree. He's denuding the Vatican I tree. I'm not saying I have the answers. I'm generalizing here, but I think smart people ask more questions than they supply answers in such uncertain times as these. But here's the thing. Here's one thing I'll say, and I know it well. It's above our pay grade. Just two words, hang tough. Who cares? Who cares? This is the churchmen's problem. They're going to have hell to pay for it. We got similar problems in the world, secularly. Deep state, deep church. It is all interesting and it's somewhat troubling, especially as we wind toward the U.S. election, biggest election in the history of humankind, in less than, you know, 2.5 weeks. But don't be troubled in your faith. And don't go Orthodox. The more I hear about this, the more irritated I get. Remember, evil Cardinal Casper, who introduced communion for the civilly divorced and remarried, and Pope Francis let him do it after he'd been trying it for 30 years, shut down by JP2, he borrowed from the Orthodox. So don't take any nonsense from the Orthodox about like, see, your Pope's so bad. Yeah, he's a bad Pope. He's a horrible Pope. But don't leave the faith. Don't leave the bark of Peter. For those schismatics, the Eastern Orthodox, they have divorce and contraception. Get real. What is the argument? Your Cardinal Casper and Pope Francis are so bad that they're borrowing from us. I mean, it's stupid. You come to the Orthodox because your church has gotten so liberal that they're borrowing Eastern Orthodox moral theology. I mean, it's like Mayor Quimby when he's running against Sideshow Bob. Sideshow Bob was twice convicted of attempted murder. Would you vote for this man? You know? Anyway, the point is this. Keep the faith. Stay on the bark. It's above our pay grade. Whatever your daily devotional is, double down on it or whatever. Just keep doing it at the very least. Stay close to the sacraments. Hug your wife and kids. Be good to them. Demand that they're good to you. Demand that they're moral and they love Jesus and the Trinity and the Holy Mother and their Holy Mother Church. And it's going to be okay. I don't know how the world's going to be. Who knows? Cardinal Cafaro received a surprise letter from Sister Lucia in 1991 when he was starting the Institute on the Family, which Pope Francis is stripping down. And guess what Sister Lucy said? She said, "The final attack of Satan on the world will be on the family. That's what we're engaged in." So maybe it's eschatological. Maybe it is the end of everything. Maybe it's not, though. I'm not the kind of guy to hedge my bets. I'm just saying I literally don't know. But things are weird enough that it wouldn't be that shocking. Have you made any sense of 2020? Fake riots funded by Warren Buffett, maybe George Soros, probably Warren Buffett. Fake violent riots. These people aren't being convicted. And this virus, I'm not going to say much about that. Is this in getting fired? I got fired. I had to move. My daughter had huge surgery. Just heaven be with us. Jesus, Mary, Joseph, be with us on the way. It'll all be fine in the end. Maybe the whole thing's come tumbling down. Who cares? Stay close to the church. I love you guys. Peace, man. Just hang tough. Those two words. So I don't like getting overly theological, overly philosophical. Even I'm back in doctoral studies. You can dip into it, but I'm dipping out before you go to bed when you rise in the morning. I like deep but simple platitudes. Hang tough. Be tough. That's all you need in these tough times. I was telling a friend the other day who I met at a Church Militant conference, it's fine to just, in tough times, not accomplish a lot in your day. If you're getting bad anxiety, bad depression, just hang tough. The Pope's, I wouldn't say losing his mind, he's always been crazy since he came in and since he stepped out on that loggia with Cardinal Gottfried Danneels, who is outright evil, Danneels. Just hang tough. That's all you have to do. And hey, hug your wife and your kids and your extended family and help your neighbors and say your rosary and avoid mortal sin. And with God as my witness, I promise you it'll be all right. Peace. Stay tough and vote for America. If you can, support your friends like me on Patreon. It's been really helpful. There's been a big insurgence of this. I'll stop talking about it so much after the election. Yesterday's video got frozen in views for about an hour and a half. Just not one extra view. They're messing with our channels. And I'm not even complaining because other people are getting shut down. There is an escape hatch if this happens in a major way. But please, see to our patrons if you like the content. If you don't like the content, I understand. I'm not panhandling there. If you like the content, please see my Patreon. Please see to Dave's Patreon because it's doing good work. God bless you, Deus Vult. God bless America, and God bless the church. Pray for the Pope. Peace.